The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Now, I want to talk to Santos Ogaro. Good morning, Santos.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Oh, can I say Wagwan?
Wagwan?
Yeah.
Which means what?
Basically, hi. For Caribbean, for all the Caribbean people.
This is tremendous because you're and people are going to be intrigued by your accent, which has a Caribbean and Dublin and all sorts.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. First and foremost, you wrote an email to us.
Yeah.
What time of the day did you write it?
Oh, geez, it was like 5 a.m.
And what had you up at 5 a.m. or what was happening in your mind or your world at the time?
I just know that Christmas is coming up now and a lot of people are under pressure.
Yep.
And I just want to highlight to everybody that it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Where a lot of us are getting into debts and stuff to keep up with the Joneses and we don't really have to do it.
Right. And that is the lesson that you're going to kind of share with us this morning.
Yes.
We loved your story. Absolutely loved it. And that's why you're here. So thank you for coming in to see us today.
Yeah.
Let's get down to this business of the Caribbean. I mean, take us back to your early days and give us a sense of the place. Can you paint a postcard for us?
Okay. I'll try.
Do your best. Go on.
Okay, so I grew up in the Caribbean island of Montserrat. If a lot of people will know it, it's the Emerald Isle of the Caribbean. So it's very Irish. We're the only other place in the world that celebrates St. Patrick's Day as official holiday, an official bank holiday. It's party time over there for the whole week.
Loads of Irish names, surnames.
Even my name, I'm Ogaro.
Ogaro, spelled
O-G-A-R-R-O.
Yeah.
From Ogara.
Yeah.
Or they think it could be O'Hara as well. We're not really sure there. But over the years, it's gotten mixed up and fused and everything. And this is
where you are now.
This is where we are now.
Is there a shamrock on the passport? Or is that the
Yes. When you go in, when you go into the, when you land, that's what they stamp.
Really?
Yeah. I should have actually brought, well, now you can't see it. I should have brought my passport.
No, that's okay. But it's there anyway.
Yeah, loud and proud.
And I think a lot of the Irish landed there from a kind of Cromwell's time. Is that right?
Yes. And I think before that as well, they said that the Irish were travelling like they do now. They were travelling before. And they ended up in Montserrat and a lot of other Caribbean islands as well. Like you have St. Kitts, you have Jamaica even, and our accent is similar to Cork. A lot of them are from Cork.
That explains everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because where I'm actually from, the village I'm from, it's called Cork Hill.
Get away.
Yeah.
In Montserrat.
So, yeah, Cork Hill Village.
Great.
So that's where I'm from.
Wherever you go, there'll be plenty of Irish touchstones.
Yeah.
And that still doesn't explain what you're doing here and how you ended up here. But I think we need to go to 1989. Would that be right?
Yeah.
Into Hurricane Hugo.
Hugo, yeah. My dad, Dermot, he came over. He works for the Public Works. And he came over because there was a big hurricane and it was to rebuild the island. And he met my mom and she was a tiler, I think, at the time, among other jobs.
Yeah.
And they met, they hit it off, and fast forward a few years, 95, I think they came over in 94 to get everything set up for us coming over. And in 95, I arrived with my two brothers.
You arrived in Ireland?
In Ireland.
Okay, how old were you at that stage?
Oh, was I 10?
Okay, yeah. So you had a good run at life in Montserrat.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you weren't just two or three, yeah.
I was proper Huckleberry Finn over there. That's what I used to think I
Why?
Was. Because I read the book and there was only 13,200 people at the time there. So you could kind of do whatever you want to do. So we used to go to the river, get crayfish. We called them lobsters, but now I realise they weren't lobsters. And we used to do whatever, pick fruits, like literally. And I was like always up for an adventure. So I used to drag my brothers along.
It sounds
everywhere.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And it was like...
And did you want...
Very idyllic.
Idyllic is a great word
for
it. Did you want for anything? Was it poverty? Was it charming poverty, if I could use that expression? Or was it tough?
When I look back, if I was to look at an adult, I would say, yeah, maybe times were hard, but I didn't really get that sense as a child. We didn't want for anything. I never wanted for like material things
happy.
And stuff. Really, really happy. And my granddad, who has now passed, he always says that he remembers me as a child running on the beach naked, just happy.
Enjoying life.
Just happy, enjoy. Yeah.
And Dermot isn't your birth father, is that
no,
right?
No, he's my stepdad.
So
he is my dad.
He's your dad.
Yes.
Yeah, we got that. And that's important to say. And you blended into the family, as it were.
Yeah.
Dermot and your mother.
Yeah.
And the two boys.
Yeah, and I have a younger sister now, Annalise.
And is she from...
She's Dermot.
Dermot and your mum.
Okay. Yeah.
But everyone's together.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Your family has...
United Colours of Benetton.
It's fun. I love the description of your family because when I was talking about the toy show this year, I was saying to the guys, I said, this is about family, but it's about all kinds of families.
Yeah.
It's not picture postcard because families are complicated.
Yeah.
And even complicated families are more beautiful than so-called... traditional family.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter a damn. It's about happiness on the couch when you're watching TV
together.
That's
all that matters.
And you've got that.
Yeah, and the stories at Christmas.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and the second part of my story is to get everyone to enjoy the show without looking at their phones and screens.
That's
just
it,
for
a
couple of hours. Anyway, back to you. More important, Santos, back to you. Now, you've established your childhood and the family setup and you came back. Now, how do you go from Huckleberry Finn to wandering around Colestor? In Dublin. I mean, it is a leap.
Okay, I'm going to say Colestor. That's where Dermot is from.
Sorry, that's Dermot. Sorry, you're quite right.
Dunnycarney.
Dunnycarney.
They'll think I'm being a snob.
That was my mistake, not
Colestor's
yours.
Colestor's across the road, so, you know, can't I?
Keep it real.
I have to keep it real. Dunnycarney for life, right?
So we go from Montserrat to Dunnycarney.
Yeah.
Explain to me as a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, thereabouts, what you were, what class of a culture shock that was or change of scene that was for you?
Okay, so in Dunnycarney, it's the corporation houses and we were in, it's a terraced house. Mm-hmm. But I thought we were coming to the whole, like it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 5 houses that was ours. I was like, we must all have different rooms because the different doors were our room. I was like, wow, mom, you really did good up here. Like, you know, and then now she was like, no, it's that one there. And you have the box room.
So that was a land.
Yeah. So,
but how did you adjust to that? That must have been quite a leap. Yeah.
I would say it was hard, but we came in 95 and I could remember the summer, like when you're looking outside now, it was such a good summer. It was so warm.
Mm.
And we were just the wild kids. We were still kind of a bit wild. And my best friend, Olivia, who's here with me now.
Good.
She said she saw me skipping up the road in the rain. So that was the kind of buzz I was on when I came over.
I think if I was 10 and I saw another 10-year-old skipping up the road in the rain, I go, I want to be her friend.
Yeah.
It's a good look, you know.
Says a lot about her as well, kind of, but look.
But settled into life in Dublin.
Yeah,
and you became
I did.
A Dubliner, essentially.
Yeah, I did. And like, I'm going to mention my granddad again. He was very sad because he was like, I could hear the accent going.
Oh, really?
You know, he was like, he kind of liked the Caribbean accent and he was like, I could hear it. But we just wanted to fit in as well. And
of
I
course.
Think you almost forced the accent to go because you wanted to be part. You
don't want to be different.
You don't want to be different. Yeah. We're the only black kids in Dunnycarney. Yeah. And no, we weren't. There was another family. Sorry. Sarah, Alison, how you? There was another family as well. But you just wanted to fit in, especially because I was taken out of my comfort zone and then boom. A whole new world, and it was scary because you'd be at the bus and somebody's looking out at the bus and they're looking at you because there wasn't a lot of black people in Ireland even then.
Yeah, that was 95.
And I was like, "Mom, why are those people staring at me?" Because the whole bus was like vroom, looking at you, you know.
Really?
Yeah, but
that's all. Is that? I don't know if it's all completely better, but it's
much better now. Like it's a different world now. Even my sister, she's telling me stuff I don't. She's 17, so she's totally different, you know, with her friends and stuff.
Much healthier.
World but it's just people don't know. It wasn't anything bad. I'd probably do that as well.
Yeah, just curiosity rather than ignorance.
Yeah,
I hear you. What about your mum, Rose?
Rosie, she's a big fan of yours.
Is she?
Yeah, she's
I'm now immediately a big fan of hers. Tell
me
about her.
She's a character.
Yeah.
She's funny.
Good.
She's straight to the point. She told me, don't come up here and keep talking, but then you're Jesus said to talk. So,
yeah.
Ma'am, I'm just doing what I'm told, okay?
Rosie, she's doing a great job, Rosie. It's a 10 out of 10 so far.
Yeah, she's a hard-working mammy.
Did she do a few jobs down through the years?
Yeah, she worked in the post office. She's worked in, was it Apache Pizza? I can't remember. She worked in a pizza shop, but she worked in a pizza shop in the Caribbean as well.
Okay.
She's a grafter. We weren't allowed, none of us don't work, you okay. know. She You're, didn't want to see our faces.
Get out of your lazy bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that she instilled that ethic, in,
ethic
into
in
you
me,
all.
Yeah, like, so my brothers are the same. Like okay. One's a plumber and one works in... She don't know what Louis does, like really.
She talked to him over Christmas about what
yeah,
he does
we'll
and find
have a
out
chat
what
that.
Louis, it's been a while. What exactly do you do? So let's go back then to more recent year, about 4 or 5 years ago or so, 4 or 5 years ago, you had kids of your own?
3 years ago, yeah.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
And you had a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
Okay. And suppose the reason you got up at 5 a.m. and said, right, I'm writing this email, I'm sick of talking about it or thinking about it, I'm going to do this, is because you felt you wanted to tell people about when things went a bit weird for you and a bit peculiar for you. Could you tell us about when it started to go a bit peculiar for you?
Like I was always an overthinker, and I think that kind of goes back from when I moved here, because you're always trying to assess situations that you're going into and stuff. So it just got worse. My mom always said it, like, you're an overthinker. She's going to think about this a million times, you know.
Sure.
So everybody I knew had credit union loans and they had loads of stuff. They had loads of loans and it was just a normal thing.
Yeah.
Like, I went on my first holiday to Cyprus and, you know, you had your 200 saved and you get 3 times that amount and you got your loan. It never occurred to me, just save that money and then just go. So it just became a habit.
And was it credit card or credit union?
Credit union. I had credit cards as well. I had, if it was gone, I had it, because sure, at that stage, they were sending it through your door then when I was working.
Yes.
And I was like signing up for everything. I thought it was so important.
And you were building up a head of steam debt-wise.
Yeah.
For what purchases, generally speaking, was it?
Like, I broke up with a boyfriend in my 20s and I went and bought an Audi A4.
Like, oh, that level?
A convertible. I just was like, when he sees me driving, you know, kind of that crap. But I got that, and then I'd get into this like stage where I'm like, I have to pay this off because this is stupid. What are you doing? And then I'll go back into it, because you're walking and someone's saying, you see a sign and it's like, you need a holiday. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I deserve a holiday. I'm after working so hard, you know. So then you go to the credit union again, or you book a holiday, or you go, you get a top-up loan, or you do something. And it just becomes a habit of it. And 3 years ago then, I had Louis. And I think I was just stressed all the time. I wasn't myself, and I was trying to keep everything perfect. I was on maternity leave, and we were going, personally, I don't really want to go into this, we were going through like a bad phase.
Okay.
I found myself more or less on the verge of being a single mother. Mm-hmm. But Louis was 6 months and I got pregnant with Eliza again, so we're back in the ring. And then I was a single mother with Eliza, and I was stressed. I was very stressed. I was not getting, because I didn't have my savings, because I had the kids back to back with maternity leave. We didn't get full maternity leave in my job, so you got half. And I was trying to pay a mortgage, look after 2 kids, and I just couldn't breathe.
This is the story of a lot of people in this country.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I think it's kind of like a hidden story for a lot of people, that they don't really want to talk about it.
No.
Because no one wants to say, I'm up to my neck.
Yeah.
Because it's not nice.
It's not nice.
It's not good for your pride or your dignity.
No.
So was it affecting your mental health, I presume, was starting to suffer?
I was very fragile to probably be around. I was crying a lot.
Yeah.
And usually I'm one of those people that I'll think and think, and then I'll have a big outburst and a cry, and then it's over. have a few drinks, have a cry, and then it's over.
Not a bad way to be, actually.
Yeah, but I was crying all the time. Couldn't sleep, wanted everything to be perfect. Everything wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. Just thought I failed, you know, I failed as a mother. I waited to be 32 to have kids, and this is what I was going to do for them. Like, I can't afford to pay the mortgage. Like, I was $5,000 behind on my mortgage. I had $15,000, more than that, in debt. And I was just like, I just felt hopeless. Like, I didn't know what to do. And that's...
like the quicksand, is it? It's like... it's
the,
like,
honest to God, Drew, I was taken from one thing to pay. I was taking my mortgage money to pay this week, then taking that to pay this week. And it was like this... it's like a game show that was just toxic, you know? Yeah. Really, that's the only word I can...
what a description. I mean, really. You're paying Peter to... stealing from Peter to pay Paula.
And it just wasn't... getting there.
And did you at some point then get, I mean, often when you hear a story like yours, it takes one good person or a circumstance to that suddenly find yourself going, that's what it is, a eureka moment.
Yeah.
Did you have one?
To be honest, I was on the phone one day and I was talking to my boss and I broke down crying and she couldn't hear me, but I call it these heart attacks. I thought I used to have heart attacks in work. I work in the bookies, by the way.
Yeah.
And in the back, I'd go in and I'd have these, like,
say... palpitations, were they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought it was...
like, the full
I was going to fall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it'll go. But it was always, like, I remember saying to my friend, I can't take a deep breath.
Mm.
And that was going on for months. I couldn't take, like, breathe in.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my boss and she heard me on the phone. And I was literally crying, like... and she couldn't understand. And she's like, look, you need to just calm. I'm going to ring you back. And she rang me back and I said, can I talk to you? I'm going through a lot of stuff right now. And I explained everything to her. And she said, you need to really think about what you're doing because you have kids here. You can't. And I thought, by me saying to her, oh, I can't come in tomorrow, I thought that was going to be the big thing. And she was like, you need to think about whether you can work full time, manage kids, have minders. I want to say thanks to Bernie, by the way, who's very good to me with the kids.
Good on
her. Have minders and everything, and just paying that money out. Or do you want to spend time? Because if you keep going like this, you're going to be no good to nobody.
Yeah.
And I just kind of listened to her and she's like, it's no shame to say you're going through something and you need to take a step back for a while. She's like, you go part-time if you need to. And I didn't even think that was an option because I'd worked my way up to being a manager. So then I was like, oh, if I go part-time, I'm going to lose everything that I'm after working so hard for. And I just thought that was the priority at the time. And she was like, she's like, I'm a mother as well. And I can see what you're going through. And that was kind of a breaking point for me. And she doesn't know that because sometimes I see her and I'm like, hey, yeah. Because I'm literally like, you don't even know what
she
you're
changed
after.
Changed everything.
Changed so my headspace.
Did you then, Santa's, decide, right, there and then?
My doctor said it as well.
As well. Let's fix this.
Yeah.
Okay, it's one thing trying to address the mental health, which is going part-time a bit. But then you're thinking, part-time, well, that means I have less money. And then I'm still older. How do you confront the debt?
Well, I typed into YouTube.
Go on. What?
How do you get out of debt fast?
Did you really?
Simple as that.
Not Google, YouTube.
YouTube, because I watch the YouTube videos. I don't really watch, like, apart from The Late Late Show.
Well rescued, Santa. Like your style.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But I watch YouTube. I'm always like, how do you cook? Because I love cooking. How do you cook this? How do you cook this? And then I just typed in there.
So what was the video for How Do You Get Rid of Debt?
This lady, Debt Kicking Mom, her name was.
Okay, good name so far.
And she was doing this program. It was like, it's called a Dave Ramsey program.
Yeah.
And she was basically saying that she saved an emergency fund. And I was like, what? Credit union is an emergency fund? Like, a credit card is an emergency fund.
Brilliant.
But she was like, no, you save like $1,000. She's American. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm gonna save it €1,000 and get an emergency fund. And then she was like, then you pay off all your debt. You have to be aggressive with it. And I was like, I'm going to do that. So I was getting pumped.
It's like then, giving up alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to fight this.
I was like, I'm going to fix this because I'm going to take control of everything.
So how did you do it?
I sold everything in the apartment except my body. Like, I sold everything.
Thank God for that. No. You were making a point. It just came out kind of funny, but that's fine.
It came wrong.
You sold every stick of furniture.
I sold, like, anything you didn't need. Rocking chairs gone. Like, I was like, adverts, come on, just take everything. I took students in.
Did you really?
I did everything because I just thought it's a short-term sacrifice, and I was following so many people on YouTube and stuff, and on Instagram. Can I just shout out myself?
You set up this Instagram page, yeah, didn't you? Called
The Caribbean Dub.
The Caribbean Dub, and this was showing people your battle against the
every
debt.
Week.
Why did you do that? That's really interesting. It's like the acceptable face of influencer, because it's actually influencing people, yeah, as opposed to selling tat. So you did something useful.
Yeah, accountability. I did it for
yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of selfish.
No, but if you put it out there, say I'm doing this, and then
you have to do it.
It's embarrassing if you fail.
Yeah, and then I was because I had Louis. You have to have a reason why you're doing everything. And I had Louis and Eliza, and they were my why. The
kids, yeah.
So I said, if I do this, I can't let them down now. And I really can't let them down because people are watching. I'm after saying, I owe 15 grand, which is not a lot to a lot of people, but it's a lot to me. It's a lot of money.
Of course it is.
I owe 15 grand in debt. And every week I have to show up and show, have to pay this.
How much did you pay off?
So far, I've paid off just under 11 grand.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
How much have you left?
4745.
So it's essentially 15 grand. You've paid 11 and you've just shy of 5 to go.
And I have 2-1 in savings in the credit union.
So you have a saving pot as well.
Yeah, because that was me top up loans. I used to get the top up loans with the savings.
That's brilliant though. Yeah. You're on the right road. How liberating is it to be, free of that debt?
Oh my God.
Are you a new woman?
I feel like invincible. Sure, I'm on the radio now.
Yeah, but that's because you're brilliant.
I feel like, I feel like a new person, and I just feel like no one talks about this, and they should, because people are like, you can't tell people how much you owe. And I was, why?
Yeah. What's
the big taboo? We need to talk about it because people are at home stressed, and I was smiling to everybody and I was crying all the time, and you have to talk about it, you really do.
And where would you send people to in terms of?
Go to Instagram. Yeah. Obviously, follow me.
Yes,
and
at
see,
the Caribbean
I'm still,
Dub.
At the Caribbean Dub, because I'm still sharing.
Good.
And I'm still showing. And some of the messages, that's why I said I was going to write in, because some of the messages that I've gotten are unreal.
The level of debt.
The level of debt and the level of support and the level of people saying, you know what, I'm going to actually do this. I'm going to do this next year.
People want somebody else to relate to.
People want someone to do it, yeah. And I'm not an expert. I'm just sharing what I'm doing and cooking from scratch, little things.
What are the things you're doing, the little things?
The cooking from scratch is like my main thing.
So you're not buying
expensive. I don't eat a lot. I don't eat out a lot. And when I do eat out, I'm not a scrounger. My mom told me this word. Now, you're not going to turn into a scrounger now. But I'm not a scrounger.
I doubt that.
But when I do go out, I want to enjoy it. It's not about not spending money and not, but
it's
just
wisdom.
Don't get into debt for a night out.
Yeah, oh, what a clever, wise word. Let's take some texts. I'm loving this unique, rich, warm Caribbean Dublin accent this morning, says John in the UK.
Aww.
Wonderful combination. Terrific story Santa's has. Well done to her. Pat Murphy's in Sutton listening to Santa's this morning. Well done to her. I'm remembering our St. Patrick's Day in Montserrat in 2000, shortly after the eruption that destroyed the southern half of the island. My late wife, Olivia, and I had sailed there from Ireland. How about that? Thank you, Pat. And another says, listening to Santa's talking about her financial difficulties, well done to her. So many people feeling like this and no hope. Financial stress is huge and it's a lonely place as people feel shame and can't share their fears and upset. MABS and the money advice and budgeting service is a wonderful resource to support people through their financial difficulties. It's free, independent, non-judgmental. The mental stress that comes with financial difficulty is underestimated. And that's where you come in. Thank you for coming into us this morning, Santa. You've been wonderful and a real an enriching addition to our show today and this week. So we appreciate that. I want to say hi to your mum, Rose, again. Tell her that I love her. Because I know she was in the late audience, I'm told, when she was 50. Is that right?
Yes.
And the whole of Donnycarney was in stitches. Why?
Because her prize was cocoa brown tan.
Unrequired. Is that what you're suggesting?
She didn't need it.
She'll find it. Georgie should have given it to you to sell it.
Should have. I think our best friend got it.
Hey, listen, to you and the kids, happy Christmas.
Yeah.
And to Rose, obviously, Rosie.
Thank you.
And you've been great to come and see us. Keep us posted as to your story. And I hope life is as kind to you as you deserve. Santa Sogara, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.